Hope you all had a good Christmas. I think that it's fitting that the Sunday after Christmas, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. If you had the chance, if you were fortunate enough to be with your family, right, that's on the forefront of our minds. We're like, yeah, it was family. I don't know if it was holy or not, but it was family. And so we get this presented to us like there's something really important. This is the fact that blows my mind. Jesus Christ, God and man, comes down to earth and he decides, I'm going to be here for about 33 years on this earth doing my thing. I'm going to spend 30 of those years in the quiet, silent, mundane, day-to-day, normal life of a family. And then I'll spend about 3 doing all the really cool stuff like healing and performing miracles. 10 times, I'm not a math teacher, but that's 10 times as much he dedicated to family life as he dedicated to what we call active ministry. And so I think that says, everyone, that Jesus finds family life really, really important. Like maybe even more important than performing miraculous healings on people, right? And that's what's so beautiful about what Jesus does. That's how Jesus acts. It's not a surprise. Last week, we celebrated Christmas, where when God does something really amazing, notice, most of the time he does it in somewhat ordinary ways. He's like, I need to go save the human race. What am I going to do? Become a baby. Grow up in a family. What am I going to do? I'm going to live in a small town. It's not what you'd expect. And I think sometimes we don't expect much from our family life. We don't expect salvation to happen. We forget, like, Jesus doesn't just save us when he dies on the cross. Jesus begins the work of salvation from the moment he's conceived. And so as he's growing up, you know, making tables and chairs with Joseph, he's saving the world. And that's what we do. That's what you do. If you take the time to dedicate your work, your day, your life, your time with your family to Jesus, you're saving them every day, just like Jesus did, every single day. And so what I want to say to those of you who either have in the past and you're now in your older years or are now creating what the church envisions for the family, which is a domestic church, it's called, where the church that we see here that we're all a part of begins at home. Those of you that are forming that, thank you. Thank you. That's no easy task. It's an amazing thing. And so thank you. Jesus is doing something extraordinary in what maybe seems like something very uninteresting or uninspiring. But all we can do is offer that to him, and he does something amazing. So thank you. Jesus is bringing about that salvation, just like he did all those years ago through his own normal, boring family life that the gospel writers didn't feel the need to write about because maybe nothing that special happened. He's doing it. I mean, look, you're here. You're coming to Mass. You're trying to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Hopefully going to confession, he's doing it. And so thank God for that. It's interesting that in the readings today, the church sort of gives us Abraham as this example. Because it's like, I mean, Abraham's super old and maybe not that relatable. But if you look at his life, he has all the elements of family life. When I think of, you know, family, you're like, the first word that comes to my mind is, it's messy. Family life is kind of messy. Well, when Abraham gets the call from God, and he's like, hey, you're going to have a great nation. What does he do? He doesn't trust God. Rather than have a child with his wife, he has a child with his basically slave girl, Hagar. She has Ishmael. And then Sarah gets super jealous of Hagar and is like, hey, you need to get rid of that, you know, lady. And so he sends her away. Like, it's terrible. And that's Abraham's family life. It was messy. And then I love in the readings today, it says, when Abraham set out, he didn't know where he was going. So I wonder if there's some of you out there that says, yeah, Father, that'd be great to have this domestic church, but I don't know what to do. That's fine. Set out anyway. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. And he said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do what I can. I'm going to set out. I'm going to pray with my family when we don't pray. We're going to go every Sunday now. Set out. Set out, and God can do great things. And then lastly, and this is maybe the most shocking, because anytime, this happens to all of us, right? Anytime the Lord sort of draws us to something, sometimes our initial reaction can be, yeah, that's, I don't know if that's for me. So when God comes down to Abraham and he says, I want you to execute your son. I want you to sacrifice your son. You could imagine Abraham's reaction could be like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's for me. But he doesn't. He sets out and he trusts that God can even raise from the dead. And so we can't make that excuse today. I don't know if that's for me. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Why? Because the home, everyone, is where the church lives. We're like, the church is nothing without the home. It's the school of virtue and learning service and charity and how to love God and how to pray. And that can't be replaced, actually. It's really sad. But it happens somewhat frequently, right? Like somebody will have like a conversion later in life, like in their 60s, and now all their kids have left the house. Many of them have left the church, and they say, Father, I wish I knew, and they were learning about, like, I wish I knew all this stuff before. Like, what can I do? And it's like, nothing. It's too late. It's too late. I don't know. You can pray for them, obviously, but they're their own people now. And so this cherished time, for those of you that have children still at home, this cherished time of the place where it's the school of the faith, the school of coming to know and love God. And it's hard, but it's beautiful, and that's how God works. The church depends on the family. We don't get priests unless there's good families. We don't get religious unless there's good families. We don't get parish renovations unless there's good families. The church really depends on good families. And so, I would just say, mothers out there, go to Mary. She knows family life. She had a husband. She had a kid. She knows what it's like. You can go to her. Fathers, go to St. Joseph. Joseph had it hard, you know. The two people he lived with were both free from sin. So if something messed up, it was pretty clear who dropped the ball, you know. So dads, you can go to Joseph, right? He knows what it's like to say, I don't really know what I'm doing here, but God guided him and made him the head of his family. And Joseph led the family beautifully, the Holy Family. And then kids, teenagers, young kids, listen up. You guys, go to Jesus. I know sometimes kids think they're God, but Jesus actually was God. And as I said, he thought that 30 years of living under the authority of his parents was worthwhile. God thought that. And so children, go to Jesus, and he teaches us, teaches you, how to learn from your parents, to trust them, to grow in faith, to grow in holiness, to grow in virtue. And then we'll have beautiful, fruitful, great families. I wish God's blessing on all of your families today.